You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome along to the FWA podcast from William Hill. We're going to look ahead to this weekend's football and some of the big top stories. My name is Mark Walton. I'm joined on the line by chief football writer for the Daily Telegraph, Sam Wallace. How are you, Sam?
Hello, Mark.
Are you looking forward to this weekend? First major trophy of the season coming up?
Yeah, I think it's interesting to have a club in the League Cup final who don't always reach far, who don't very rarely reach finals, and I think that makes it a very special occasion. Manchester United have been there many times before. That doesn't diminish the fact they'll want to win it. But I think Southampton are a very well-run club, and it will be interesting to see if they can get it over the line and actually win a trophy.
Yeah, well, we'll move on to the match betting and everything for the League Cup final pretty shortly. But before we get to that, it's on the subject of Manchester United. It's their captain, Wayne Rooney, and a lot of talk suggesting that he's going to end up in China before the end of the Chinese transfer window. Reports suggesting that his agent's already over there trying to find him a club. Do you think Wayne Rooney will end up in China?
I think it's debatable. I think one of the mistakes we make when we talk about players going to China is that we kind of see China or the Chinese Super League as a kind of homogenous whole. There, you know, like any league, there are different teams with different budgets and different squads. And if you look at the actual teams, then they already have a quite high-profile number of foreigners who have proved very expensive. As you said, the transfer window in China shuts on Tuesday, and they are only permitted. There's been a very recent change of the quota rules. So previously, you were allowed in your team to have three foreign players plus another foreign player from the Asian Federation, which obviously includes Australia. Now that because of a government sort of change of mood in the Chinese government, that's been changed to just three foreign players. And certainly the three representatives who are left in the Asian Champions League all have quite a strong contingent. You've got Shanghai Shenhua, they're not in the Champions League any longer. They've already signed Carlos Tevez, who's said to be the best paid player in the world. So I'm just a little bit puzzled as to where Rooney would end up if this was to be done before Tuesday. My feeling is that there's certainly interest from China, but it's part of a bigger play about Rooney's career and where he goes next. He's got 16 months left on his United contract, and I'm sure he's got options beyond China. I just wonder if maybe this is an attempt to smoke one of those options out.
Right, so you think it may be planning for the future rather than anything that happens immediately?
I wouldn't rule it out, but and he would be arguably the biggest name ever to move there. I mean, people might look at Tevez and say, well, he's the biggest name, but I think he would. It would be another kind of a game changer for the Chinese league. But I just feel that it's hard to see it happening before Tuesday. And obviously there are now injuries, Marino says, to Mkhitaryan and Carrick, so I don't know if that changes the picture again. I think he's going to have a lot of options, either this summer or next, probably this summer. And it's about, you know, him and Paul Stretford, his agent, will want to make sure they've got the best ones on the table with everyone paying a premium, you know, everyone offering a premium deal for him for what will probably be his last long-term contract of his career.
The reports at the moment saying that he would become the highest paid player in the world should a deal go through for one of the Chinese clubs. Reports as well from the BBC that Manchester United have overtaken Bayern Munich as the most popular club in China. So that makes the Rooney deal even bigger, doesn't it?
Possibly. I'm always a bit dubious about how these things are measured. I don't think there's any kind of reliable. They might disagree with this, but I don't think that there's a reliable way of being able to tell that in a country of a billion people. And I think this is something that clubs are constantly seduced by when they are told by these marketing or data companies that they've reached this number of this level of recognition in a new territory for football. I mean, Rooney's a very, very famous person, but China, a lot will depend, I think, on where he goes in China. And, you know, when we think of modern China, we think of Shanghai and we think of Beijing, but there's a lot of other clubs and a lot of other towns and cities. And I think before you make a commitment of the kind that we might be talking about here, a 3-year contract, then I cannot believe that he would not want to go and visit the place that he would be spending 3 years of his life. And that's why I'm just a bit dubious about this going through before Tuesday.
Okay. On the deal, but kind of not surrounding Wayne Rooney, has Jose Mourinho played a real blinder here with this situation? Because at the start of the season, he was saying Rooney wouldn't play midfielder for him. There was also the talk every week, would Rooney play kind of thing. That's all quieting down. And suddenly Wayne Rooney might be on his way to China out the back door, and there seems to be no real uproar there. But, you know, at the start of the season, there was talk of him being a club legend and he should never be allowed to go. And Mourinho was saying he wouldn't just sell him off.
I don't really think so. I mean, I think the situation has worked itself out quite naturally. For the first time you drop Wayne Rooney, whether it's for United or for England, then obviously it's going to be a story. But what has helped Mourinho is that Ibrahimovic scored 24 goals. So it's not really been a difficult decision. I think the fact that Rooney's broken the record as well, I think more than anything that cuts a tie with United. That's done now. And he broke Bobby Charlton's record of 249 career goals. Jose Mourinho has come in at the end of Wayne Rooney's career. You know, it's not 5 years ago when Rooney was still able to a large extent to dictate to the club. I mean, he did that twice over his contract negotiations. He's come in the season in which Wayne Rooney's turned 31. So I think naturally it was always going to play out. If you buy a centre forward as good as Ibrahimovic, then the chances are he will keep Rooney out of the team. Mourinho obviously is a kind of high-profile manager who is able to drop big players. But I'm not sure there's much strategy beyond what's best for the team. I don't think anyone's really making the case that Rooney should be in the side. I think he's just picking his best team.
Okay, well, we'll see how the Rooney situation pans out over the next few days or so. We've got plenty of live football coming up this weekend, so we'll just have a quick look at those matches as well before we let you go, Sam. And we'll start with Saturday evening, tea time kickoff, an evening kickoff, I should really say, 5:30 p.m. as Watford take on West Ham. Watford 6-4, the draw 23-10, and West Ham are 9-5 in the market. It's not really an enticing game for television viewers, I suppose, in one respect. But what are you expecting from Saturday evening's match?
I think the TV schedulers are getting their sort of lower profile games out of the way in anticipation for the big ones at the end of the season. I think West Ham's crisis, if that's what it was, I think they've won 6 in their last 10, means that they're probably the spectre of relegation is gone for them now. Although there was a time where they felt like they were plummeting. Again, I think Watford as well, that sort of mid-table region, there's a lot of scope to move up with a win. It's pretty tight there. I think what you're looking at now is two clubs that are probably planning for next season, really. I mean, they should stay in the Premier League, and they're both teams that probably trade a lot of players. I feel like West Ham have got the stronger squad, and it's a shame that Andy Carroll is going to be out, because I think he's one of the form players, and he's probably in the thoughts of Gareth Southgate. But I think that they are. There's talk that Snodgrass is going to be dropped for the game as well. I think these are two clubs that have quite unpredictable form. I think you may be back a draw on this one.
Okay, leaning towards the draw, then leaning either way. In fact, Watford against West Ham on Saturday evening. It's big team news, isn't it, that Snodgrass won't play and neither will Andy Carroll. And Watford are pretty solid at home. One thing I would mention here is West Ham seem to be involved with masses of goals at the moment. Could you see there being plenty of goals in this game?
I suppose it's one of those where you feel like... it comes down to how much either side is prepared to risk. I mean, you know, a draw would be a good result for both managers, I think. And I just wonder if that might be uppermost in their thinking.
Okay, so potentially a tight cagey one then, but I will just mention the four means more offer here at William Hill. If four or more goals are scored in the match, then you get a 25% free bet bonus on your winnings for the match betting, both teams to score, or match result, and both teams to score markets. So you don't have to do anything with that, it just happens automatically. Let's move on to the game on Sunday at 1:30 p.m. Tottenham taking on Stoke. Tottenham are 2-5, the draw 15-4, Stoke are 13-2 in the market. We're recording this on Thursday, so we don't quite know the fortunes of Spurs in the Europa League just yet. They take on Ghent on Thursday evening. They've had a pretty disappointing run of things, although they did manage to beat Fulham in the FA Cup last time. What do you make of them against Stoke, who aren't always the easiest side to break down?
Yeah, I'd certainly back Tottenham at home. I feel like I'm going to the game tonight, and I think that'll be a really, really interesting and exciting test for them. I think they, you know, that they have got every chance of turning it around against Ghent, famous last words. But I think Kane's hat-trick against Fulham suggested that he's crucial to them, really, and that if the goals don't come from him, that you know, then there is a problem. But no, I would back Tottenham in this one. And I think although Stoke, you know, have again, they look like they're comfortable again, and then they'll stay in the division. And they were beaten pretty heavily at home in September. And I would confidently back Spurs in this one.
Confidently backing Spurs then, 2-5 in the market. Let's see if we can squeeze a little bit more out of the price. We do have some enhanced odds markets on the website as well. And you mentioned Harry Kane. You think he's integral to Spurs, the way they play. Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 in 90 minutes. That was 9-2. That's been enhanced to 5-1. Could I tempt you with that?
I think it could be more than that. So no, you're not going to tempt me.
I think it could be more. What kind of scoreline would you be looking at?
I think it was 4-0, wasn't it, in Stoke? So yeah. I think that once they get going at home, I think you could see that again.
Tottenham to win and over 2.5 goals in the match, for example, that's 17-20. You're getting better odds there about the Spurs win rather than 2-5, of course. If Sam is correct and they do go out there and do a bit of a number on Stoke on Sunday. The big game on Sunday, away from the Premier League, is the League Cup final. Manchester United taking on Southampton at Wembley. Man United 3-4 in the 90 minutes market. The draw 12-5. Southampton are 18-5. You alluded to this at the top of the piece, really, Sam. Manchester United, obviously, plenty of experience of cup finals. Southampton don't get there all that often. Could we see a fairy tale final for Southampton, or how do you see it going?
It does strike me that this is a kind of, you know, for Southampton, this is, I'm trying to think through that team, but this is sort of a game of their lives, really. I mean, they've not been exposed to this. I'm not doubting United's determination to win, but you wouldn't put them that far behind United. United would always be favourites if it was a league game, but you wouldn't put them that far behind. And I think they're by no means no hopers. I mean, this is what their season is. Obviously, for clubs like Southampton, survival is the most important thing, although they've been well above that mark for a number of years. But I just think that with United's got such a heavy fixture schedule, and mind, you know, they are in that fight for the top four. They are still in the Europa League, and then they're in the FA Cup. They've got that big game against Chelsea. I just think that Southampton will be able to build, will have certainly been building their whole approach over the last couple of weeks around this game. And I just wonder if maybe that those prices that you mentioned, they're probably quite good value for that. You know, I think they've certainly, they're not going into this as no hopers. They're certainly inexperienced in this kind of level of game as a club. But they have proven themselves over the years against United in the Premier League. I think I'm right in saying that they won Old Trafford, was it last season, with the Charlie Austin goal? So, you know, I do think that there's a potential for a surprise there.
Okay, potentially a surprise then. Should Mourinho win the trophy? You don't think he will, but should he win this? I think he'd be the first Manchester United manager to win a trophy in his first season. So, you think he might have to wait for that if that's the case?
I don't necessarily think he won't. I just think Southampton have got a chance. That's a kind of speciality of his, is that he's trying to get that League Cup in the first season. And I just wonder. I don't know. I don't really know how much that means. I mean, the last 3 years for United, the FA Cup aside, have been, you know, there's no two ways about it, disastrously below their normal expected standards. So, would he trade the League Cup for a place, a guaranteed place in the Champions League? I'm pretty sure he would, but I'm guessing he feels that by winning, he establishes his own credibility. He has credibility, but he establishes the kind of a benchmark for the standards that he expects, and it goes on from there. It's worked for him in the past. But yeah, I'm thinking back through those United managers. I mean, when you look at when Ferguson took over, his first season wasn't a full season, so maybe you'd give him the benefit of the doubt, but it did take him until 1990 to win. From November 86 to May 1990 to win his first trophy, but that was a very, very different club that he was taking over then.
Final thoughts for the League Cup final then. You mentioned you think Southampton might have a chance. Who lifts it in the end?
I think maybe United in extra time. I think it feels like a reasonable way of looking at, you know, that I think Southampton will work hard to make sure that they're still in the game. And United, you know, he played a strong team against San Etienne. Ibrahimovic played. I was really surprised at that. I mean, he just seems to play every game. So I think it could be a long battle to break Southampton down. Obviously, there is a difference in the quality of the players and those that can be brought off the bench. But I predict it will be quite a hard won victory for United if indeed it is them that wins it.
All right, and finishing off back in the Premier League, just finishing off with Monday night's live game. Leicester take on Liverpool. Leicester are 9-2 on Monday night. The draw is 3-1. Liverpool are 6-10. If you rewind maybe 6 months, you'd say this would be a cracker of a game that could be going somewhere to deciding title credentials, and you'd expect goals and so on and so forth. But since the turn of 2017, these two struggling sides at the moment, Leicester and Liverpool, rather surprisingly, who wins on Monday night?
Yeah, who wins is... this little part of me after the defeat to Seville, in which they did get that away goal, that just fancies Leicester. I just felt, I watched the game and I felt it was just a transformation in the players once Vardy scored. And obviously, that was his first goal in a real long run. And I just felt you could see them change. And I know their form has been terrible. I mean, Liverpool haven't played in 2 weeks. That's the other factor. Their last result was a really, really good performance against Tottenham, which they won their first, I think that was their first league win of 2017. And really, you should think, well, coming off the 2 week rest with the kind of football they play and having beaten Tottenham in their previous game, that this is set up for them. I just feel like something sparked in Leicester, in Seville. And it might be more difficult than perhaps you might have thought. They are at home as well, which makes a big difference. So I totally take, you know, that Liverpool are probably coming off a better result, or certainly their previous result in England. But it's just something that makes me feel that maybe Leicester might have taken a step in the right direction with that Vardy goal.
And you mentioned Jamie Vardy there. He did score in Leicester's 4-1 defeat at Anfield earlier on in the season, and he also scored in the 2-0 win at the King Power last season when he scored twice in that game as Leicester won 2-0. So could Vardy be a potential goal scorer here, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, always, that's always the case, I think. Look, it just depends, doesn't it? I mean, Liverpool do push up, they do press hard, and I don't you wouldn't expect Jurgen Klopp to fall into a trap, but what Leicester did so well last season was getting behind teams. So let's see if they do the same. I mean, certainly I felt that Tottenham pressed high on Liverpool at Anfield, and there was partly mistakes, but it enabled Liverpool to get in behind. So maybe the same will be the case with Leicester. I think that it'd just be interesting to see how Liverpool responded to the break, because for a lot of managers that would be ideal. I wonder if maybe it's longer than Klopp would have wanted.
Final thoughts then on this Liverpool game, Leicester Liverpool on Monday night.
Liverpool are the favourites. Just obviously that's what your odds suggest. I just think that Leicester maybe with that result, I mean, they still lost against Seville, but I just felt that something changed and we might see a different kind of Leicester.
Okay, perhaps we'll see a reaction from Leicester then on Monday evening. Thank you very much, Sam. Been a pleasure speaking to you. Good luck and enjoy this weekend's football.
Thank you.
Acca 5 is William Hill's new Acca insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. Acca 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.